Have you ever gone back to your childhood and remembered some of the games that you used to play? There is one that I remember and I'm thinking about right now, and it's one where you go, "Not it!" And you're trying to be the first one to say that because you don't want to be it. Well, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm always the last one to do things. I have slow reactions. So I always got stuck with being it, with whatever it was. And usually it's some sort of task or someone that has to go do something or the first person that has to do this or that. Now, if you think about that game, that's totally the human race in a nutshell. We don't want to be the one responsible for this or for that, or for the brother or for the sister or for the mom or for anything. We want to somehow escape these responsibilities. We don't want to be it. So it's funny because these are just little games that kids play, but in many ways, as adults, we live it out in more elaborate ways, but we're just doing the same thing. Maybe just a simple example that we can kind of connect with our faith, since our faith calls us to charity, is you're passing by someone, maybe a poor person in downtown, and or maybe someone when you're stopped at a red light and you get just super nervous and they're getting closer and closer and you lock the door, you roll up the window, because you're not it. You're not the one that's going to help them. But with the souls in purgatory, you are it. God is calling all of us to help them. To not escape that responsibility, but actually to see it as a gift. And the way that we help the souls in purgatory, the primary way is through prayer. So in today's video, we're going to explore the topic of prayer and fasting and how these can help the souls in purgatory. My friends, this is Alvaro Interiano, and welcome to the channel Uniquely Mary. If you are new to this channel, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is, and watch out for new videos that we come out sometimes a couple of weeks, sometimes every week, and it depends on how the Holy Spirit is leading me. But on this channel, we focus on everything Blessed Mother, from our faith, from our own experiences, from Marian apparitions, from the teaching of the saints, from wherever we can find the truth about the Blessed Mother. But we also cover topics that are related to her. And purgatory is a topic that she loves. You know that the Blessed Mother walks amongst the souls in purgatory, granting them just by her very presence consolation. She doesn't feel the pain of the fires or any of the suffering because she is fully purified by her Immaculate Conception and God's grace. But she comes to grant light in Jesus' name to those souls in purgatory. And in fact, the title that they have for her is Star of the Sea. That's beautiful. Just think about that for a little bit. So she wants us, and she wants me to share with you about purgatory. The main book that we're using, and actually the only book that I'm using, is the first book that I encountered on the souls in purgatory, which I love. I've read it probably two or three times. Can never get enough. And it's this book, Get Us Out of Here, by Maria Sima and Nikki Eltz. One of the reasons why I wanted to use this book is because I was looking to see if anyone talked about it on YouTube, and at least I couldn't find anything, so I wanted to put this out there. This is an amazing book. It's so awesome. I'm trying to think when it was written. Both of these people have died already, so the book was written maybe about 25, 30 years ago, but the material is so amazing. So just a brief summary, because in last video, we talked about chapter one, which was just what is purgatory. Well, I'm going to skip a lot of chapters and go to some of the more maybe interesting ones, some of the ones that you might find more helpful. So Maria Sima is an Austrian woman. She is a mystic who, from an early age, had the souls in purgatory appear to her, more and more so as she got older. She became famous for this in her little town in Austria and throughout the world. People came to her seeking answers, trying to understand how they can pray for the souls in purgatory. And she provided them answers. She helped them because it was God's will for people to become educated about this topic that we don't hear about much at church, or maybe because of our own ignorance. And so this author, Nikki Eltz, heard about her. He went to go interview her. And it was a series of interviews, maybe like 15 or 20 interviews. And with that information, she compiled everything for this book. So today we're exploring the chapter on prayer and fasting. Now, I don't want to summarize this one thing that she answers. I want you to hear it for yourself because it's so good. I could not say it better at all. So just listen to this. Please put whatever you're doing down and listen in patience and listen quietly because this is just so beautiful what I'm about to read to you. So Nikki asks Maria, what would you advise me to do if I had never prayed and want to start by speaking to God this evening? She says, turn off the television, unplug the telephone. Go to your room and close the door behind you. Prayer is the only thing in the world with which we may and must be entirely selfish. You heard that right. Then be in silence and tell God that you wish to be near to Him. Do these on a regular basis and do not let Satan pull you away with all his me chatter. Then learn a little bit about Jesus, His holy family, and His disciples. Constant and small steps by yourself in the presence of His total love. Then find yourself a picture of Jesus, such as the one that I have right here. Or a cross to put in the corner of your room where you found that initial peace and quiet. There you will hear Him the clearest. Turn your heart in His direction. Give your heart to Him and only to Him during this time. Start perhaps with 15 minutes and gently work it up to an hour. If you do this over a month, you will be amazed what peace and joy this alone will bring you. But I must warn you now that attempts will be made to distract you from this and from Him. Ignore these gently but firmly and simply continue with it. She continues, and it's worth hearing. Then if you find the need to turn your entire life around, and the world is full of this today, go to a good priest or minister and tell him that you have enrolled in God's kindergarten and would like to continue this among others. In relation to God, every one of us is in kindergarten. Conversion means the changing of the heart. Conversion means stopping everything that blocks our way to Jesus. Then find a Bible and take this too into your selfish little corner. Give everything to God and to His mom, that's the Blessed Mother, and you will soon arrive in the midst of peace. And there has never been a single human being in the world who somewhere in his heart did not feel the need for peace. The reason for this is that God Himself has said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that experience, our soul being in God's peace, is in every soul to some degree. And the very best and quickest of teachers and guides through whom to reach Him is His mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who after all was also His teacher and guide. If the church that you are led to has ignored her or says she is not necessary, then either ask the priest there to reinstate her or look further until you find someone who will help you with this. I can help you with this. There are, for instance, Marian shrines or Medjugorje centers in nearly every state and country today. At these centers, you can ask to see her messages and take these home with you. Study them in your quiet time with God, but again, please do not go too fast. One message every 3 or 4 days is more than enough to meditate on. Through what she tells us, come to Jesus slowly, just as all of us grew up slowly. Once you have taken these tiny steps in changing your life, you will, and I promise you this with all my heart, very soon realize how truly enormous in importance they really are. Do this with your heart and not with your mind. There are plenty of brilliant theologians who have yet to discover God in the simplest and purest of ways. Why did I read all of that to you? Because it's not enough to know that purgatory exists. We must pray for them. And if we don't know how to pray, we can't pray for them. So the first thing that we need to do is learn how to pray. How to really pray. Not just superficially, but at a deeper level, you know that you need to learn how to pray. And in learning how to pray, you will be so much more effective for the souls in purgatory. A question later. Can you give me an example where a very small prayer made a very big difference? Listen to this. A man appeared one night, and after he told me what he needed to be delivered, he remained standing in front of me and asked, "Do you know me?" I had to answer no. He then reminded me that many years ago in 1932, when I was only 17, he traveled with me briefly in the same compartment of a train to Hull. Then I certainly did remember. He had complained bitterly about the church and about religion, and I felt I had to respond to this by telling him that he was not a good person to pull down such holy things. This response surprised and annoyed him, and he told me, "You were still too young for me to let myself be lectured by you." And I just couldn't resist being a bit rude and fired back at him, "Still, I'm smarter than you are." That was that. He sank his head into his newspaper and didn't say another word. When a station came by and he left the compartment, I simply prayed under my breath, "Jesus, do not let this soul get lost." And now that he was with me, he told me that that tiny prayer had saved him from getting lost. This is why you need to learn how to pray. Because even your tiniest heartfelt prayers, God will hear and use them for the salvation of other people. Now about fasting. What is, in your opinion, the correct definition of fasting? Nikki asks Maria. Fasting is done and taught by Jesus, hand in hand with his praying, is a spiritual discipline to be reached for initially in our consumption of food. So it has to do with food, first of all. Our Lady teaches the ideal in this regard as being bread and water on at least one day of the week, preferably Friday, the day that Jesus died, if not 2 or 3 days. But this too should be done slowly and gently, and never contrary, for instance, to our doctor's instructions. Always wisely and gently, as God would want it to be. She also goes on to describe that fasting can also be withdrawing from things that aren't good for us, but primarily it's about food. My friends, we're going to begin and continue developing this. Purgatory is real. Summarizing from last time, 3 levels. The deepest, which, as she says, is closest to hell. The middle level, where people are being delivered more and more, they're being freed from their sins. And then the highest level, getting close to being delivered, where mostly people who've had apparitions, the souls are from that place where they are almost out. And we deliver these people through our prayers and sacrifice. We first have to learn how to pray from the heart and know that even the smallest prayer, God hears on their behalf. And we could add to these prayers the sacrifice of fasting. My friends, may these simple teachings from this beautiful book be a blessing to you, and we shall continue. Please join me in the next video. Have a beautiful day.